Once again, for media members on the line, just hit star one on your keypad if you have questions for the coaches here this morning. We now welcome on to the call the head coach of the Stony Brook Seawolves, Chuck Priori. Good morning, Coach Priori.
Good morning, Rob.
Good morning. Quite a game on Long Island. Two really quality teams put on a great show for fans. Your team comes up a little short, 45-38 in overtime. Just give me your impressions on the game as you've gone back and looked at it.
Well, I think I agree with you. Two pretty good football teams on the field. You know, obviously, kudos for JMU for being able to finish it. And that's what, Coach just said before, you got to finish games. And, we didn't get a chance to finish it, which is disappointing. Certainly felt we fought back each time we got down, and we were able to make some plays. And I think it was a game of who got the next chance. I mean, we gave him a turnover on the first play of the game, so we gave him an extra possession. They fumbled going in. We caused the fumble. So we missed the field goal, so it was an interesting game. I think there was a lot of probably side shows to it, and everybody probably has a different take on it. I just think it was two good football teams playing hard, both well-coached teams, and credit to JMU for winning the game.
Both your team and JMU were certainly high-powered offenses, but also facing two high-quality defenses. Were you surprised at the amount of points?
I could tell you, I think their quarterback is a well above average quarterback. He's had a great career there last year, and he's having a great season this year. I think they use him correctly. He's efficient, and I think when he plays like that, they're going to be high-powered, regardless of who they play against. And I think our kid keeps on getting better and better and is creating a lot of football plays. He's certainly not what their guy is, but he's making big plays. He's making big throws. He had a couple of terrific things happen for him on Saturday to make things happen for us. So when quarterbacks play like that, you have a chance to play well against good defenses.
I was going to ask you a little bit about Tykel. Career high 318 yards and a couple of touchdowns despite quite a bit of pressure. How do you feel like he handled that situation against a really good defensive line and able to make the plays that he was able to make?
Yeah, I mean, some of the pressures came in the two-minute drill and the overtime when we had to throw. But, I think he was protected okay. I think, you look at the touchdown pass he threw. He got pressured. He scrambled to the left, kept his eyes up, and threw a strike to Nick Anderson in the back of the end zone. So some things like that. I think he's growing with the position. He's got a lot of work to do. He's willing to work at it. He's in a quarterback meeting right now, learning how to get better.
Your ground game didn't put up quite the number of yards, but certainly a big game from Tyson Lawton. 27 carries, 108 yards, three touchdowns. You had been, really rotating the three backs. He did that some, but Tyson certainly got the bulk of the carries on Saturday. What did you like about what he was doing to leave him out there?
Well, we really didn't have much of a choice. All our guys were hurt, didn't practice all week, and he was the healthiest. So you put your healthiest on the field when the game starts. And he fought through an ankle injury he's had since the Bryant game, and I sort of didn't give him a choice to come off the field. So, but he's a really good football player, and I'm going to be excited when he can finally practice. And he's been out for a number of weeks, and Isaiah tried to go early and wasn't happening. Sabat banged up shoulder. We were limited in what we had, and but that's part of football, and you play with the guys you had, and I thought Ty Lawton did a good job.
And then one more on the offensive side. You touched on him a little bit, but Nick Anderson, a number of big plays for you on the outside, finished with 154 yards on seven catches against a veteran secondary. What did you like about his performance?
Yeah, he competed. It's interesting because I wasn't sure on Thursday he'd even play on Saturday. He has a hamstring go, but he was healthier than the other two guys. Trent and Benson were not able to go, so him and Jean stepped up, and Delonte. So it was one of those weeks of preparation where you know, from my chair as a head coach, is you're going to play the players that play. And he went out, but he had a terrific day. He made some big plays, as you articulated, caught the ball and ran on a couple of plays, and real excited that he's continuing to grow within our system.
Defensively, your team did a great job of forcing, you forced five fumbles, recovered three, a couple of big ones in the red zone. How much of a focus was that going into the game? Did you think that maybe you could get some balls loose?
Well, listen to Danny talk earlier. It's part of what you need to do is if you want to be a great team, you got to get that plus minus where you need to be. You got to be able to cause good teams, which JMU is. They're going to move the ball on you. You got to get them off schedule, and getting them off schedule is taking the ball away from them, because if not, they're going to have a chance to score every time they get the opportunity. So it was just playing physical football and being able to disrupt some opportunities. So it certainly helped us throughout the game.
Got a media question, Q, if you'll get that for us, Hillary.
Your question comes from Adam Peck with Brooklyn.
Good morning, Coach. Wanted to ask you about, obviously, any time a team like JMU appears on the schedule, it's one of the games that guys, I'm sure, kind of keep an eye out for. But heading into the rest of the season, obviously, the CAA has got a number of top-ranked teams, you know, Towson coming up, Villanova coming up. How important was this performance? Obviously, the results didn't go the way you and the team had hoped, but knowing that this team can compete with a team like James Madison that's been so good for so long, how important does that of a role does that play when you've got teams like Villanova coming up, Delaware, and some of these other CAA opponents?
You know, I think going into the year, we were, you know, starting a brand new quarterback. We were new backs in the backfield defensively, some new linebackers. So it's been a gradual process of getting better since last year ended. I think we keep on taking the steps to become a better football team. Certainly have a lot of work to do. As far as, you know, alluding to the Saturday night's game, you know, the thing that impressed me the most is, you know, our ability to fight back throughout the game, which is going to be a CAA thing that you have to be able to do, and we've been able to do that 2 weeks in a row. And then the second thing is how we handled both the win and the loss. I thought we handled the win with class, from the shoulders up, being able to prepare last week and not worrying about, you know, what we did against Rhode Island. And then when the game was over against Rhode Island, we got together in the huddle. Our senior leadership basically said, it's a game, it's over, and we've got to move to our next opponent, because if you don't do that, you don't stay relevant. So I think those are the impressive parts that you have to take out of the game.
Thanks, Coach.
Got it.
Chuck, another big one, as you sort of alluded to, with New Hampshire coming in. They've won 3 in a row, 2-0 in the conference. As you've started to take a little look at them, what are some of the challenges they present?
Oh, it's a good football team. You know, first I want to give a shout-out to Coach Sean, and that we're thinking about him, and miss him on Saturday afternoons, but I know he's there with his team, and you can see the way his team plays. And Coach Santos, who came in and is doing a terrific job with mentoring that. Second game I ever coached here was against him as a quarterback. It wasn't a fun memory, so hopefully this Saturday will be a little bit better memory. But, you know, they're doing a good job. They're very, very well coached. They've always have been. They're a real good team. Philosophically, they do the little things well on both sides of the football. Obviously, you say they started the freshman quarterback. He's no longer a freshman. He's got wins under his belt. He's got touchdown passes under his belt. So they're running the football well, which is helping a freshman quarterback. And they're playing great defense, which they always do year in and year out. They're very well coached on that side of the ball. So, you know, it's going to be a battle. Once again, we're digging into what they do, and I'm sure they're doing the same. And, you know, it'll be a very competitive game here.
I was going to ask you, having Ricky being the quarterback that he was, how do you feel like he's influencing those two young quarterbacks, and how have you seen those two young quarterbacks that they're playing grow as you've looked at some game tape over the last few games?
Yeah, it's certainly important to have that tutelage. And, you know, not only from the fundamental part, from the shoulders up. When you know, it's hard for me who didn't play the position to necessarily understand what a quarterback goes through with when the ball snaps. But I'm certainly believe he's able to give them from the shoulder up, you know, information, knowledge, how to handle the next play, and things like that. So doing a terrific job, and you know, I'm happy for New Hampshire. You know, once again, tough situation, the kids are rallying.
All right, Chuck, thanks as always for taking time with us here today, and look forward to talking again next week.
You got it.
All right.